Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6. Once again, I will read for your hearing verses 5 through 8. chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. As you take your seats, shut thy door. Shut thy door. I don't know how it is in your house, but in my house it typically goes like this. Whenever someone goes into a room and closes the door, that usually is an indicator of a need for privacy. And that is a self-imposed sequestering of oneself. That means don't come in. That means don't disturb me. That means I may be out in a little while or in a long while. But the whole idea is to segregate yourself from all the other activity and get some private time. Jesus reminds us in these verses, and I'll preach this morning basically from one verse, verse 6 primarily. But Jesus teaches us how important it is for every believer to have private prayer. Jesus reminds us of the importance for every believer to have quality time with him. Alone time with him. Time when there are no outside interferences. Times when we can be totally unhindered, totally uninterrupted, and totally transparent before God our Father. Amen. He gives the caveat in verse 8. He says, your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. And so oftentimes the question is then, why ask? Because the God we serve is relational. God wants to hear from us, and we certainly need to hear from him. Because of the complexities of our lives, because of the challenges of our lives, because of the awesome and sometimes daunting tasks that we face in our lives. But we don't always pray, do we? Last time we were together, I asked you to identify that particular space in your life where you can go to, your go-to spot, your go-to place. It may be in your home. It may be in your office. It may be in your backyard, wherever it might be. But identify some space in your life where you can, on a regular basis, get alone with God. Learn to shut your door and spend quality time with God. Leonard Ravenhill, the noted theologian, would put it this way concerning prayer. He reminds us that the self-sufficient do not pray. The self-satisfied will not pray. And the self-righteous cannot pray. Think about that. If you're self-sufficient, you do not pray. If you're self-satisfied, you will not pray. If you're self-righteous, you cannot pray. When I read that, I said, well put. As a matter of fact, I said in my spirit, that'll preach. It simply gives an awesome synopsis of various approaches to this business called prayer. Private praying is advocated by Jesus. He's not dismantling public prayer, for we know it's necessary, we know it's biblical. But what he is teaching in chapter 6 of Matthew, the opposite of public praying, which is private prayer time. It's not necessarily wrong to pray in public, but Jesus earlier, when it came to public prayer, he addressed the wrong motive. Remember, he talked about the Pharisees, how they loved to stand in certain places and pray long prayers so that they might be seen or heard by people. He goes on to say that they get their reward, and the reward that they seek is the extended applause of men, the accolades and the pats on the back. And Jesus reminds us that is also wrong. Jesus's quarrel here, or his advocacy, is not with traditional or fixed times of prayer, or not even the public location of where they're offered, but he deals with motive. He deals with transparency. He deals with shutting out outside influences so that you and I might get serious one-on-one with God. If you're a sports advocate, you know sometimes in the game of basketball, they have various defenses that they play. One defense is called a zone. In a zone, you just cover a particular area. Depending on the shifting of the ball, you cover that particular area. And if you know anything about basketball, your coach will chew you out if you get out of your zone. He'll tell you, you should have been there. That's your area. But then there's another type of defense played in basketball. It's called man-to-man or person-to-person. You are assigned a particular person, and you have to guard that person the whole time. The difference between the two is man-to-man or person-to-person requires so much more of you. Because, see, your opponent could be quicker, your opponent could be faster, taller, have more athletic skill than you, but you still have the assignment of staying with that person, and when you miss that assignment, your coach will remind you. They might even set you down and send someone else in. We're not playing basketball this morning. We're talking about prayer. But here's the application. Here's the analogy. God wants you and I one-on-one, not in a zone. He wants us to come to him privately. And he wants us to empty our hearts before him with sincerity. Jesus was concerned with the hypocrisy that he observed concerning prayer. He used the word hypocrite. Hypocrite is derived from a Greek word which means play actor. Jesus says, the prayer that I've observed in the public places is likened unto play acting. There's so many people standing around pretending to be something that they're not. And Jesus told his disciples, don't be like them. Get away, spend private time, and give God your heart. Give him the real you. And so the issue here is not a choice between public prayer and private prayer, but the real issue is a choice between hypocritical prayer and heartfelt prayer. Those are the real choices. Now, four things, and only four, today capture our attention. I want you to think, first of all, about what I call the reclusiveness of private prayer. The reclusiveness of private prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 of our text, he says, but when you pray, he says, enter into your closet. That means find a private place, a private spot, a place where no one is there but you and God. He says, when you have, shut the door. That means block out all distractions. It may be turn the music off. It may mean turn the television down. It may mean not answering the phone. It may mean telling someone that I'm going to spend some time in prayer right now and I need you to respect that time. It can be in your office. It can be in your home. It can be wherever you might be, but create that space. Then he says, pray to the Father, which is in secret. Secret means that when you steal away to Jesus in those private moments, you have the guarantee and the assurance that God is there. Because he promises us that when we do this, he will be there. The Bible says, thy Father, which is in secret, thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Be careful with the word father there, because the Greek construction of the word father denotes a special relationship between the one praying and the one prayed to. The idea is the sense of belonging. The idea is the sense of knowing. The idea is the sense of submissiveness. It's likened to a parent and a child. That is a unique relationship there. What I'm emphasizing is this. Make sure the God that you pray to is indeed your Father. And he is your Father in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The requirement for private praying is privacy. Get alone with God. Do it on a regular and consistent basis. It does not mean that we are to never pray publicly, but what it does mean is we certainly ought to pray privately. We should pray in a private place where only God can see. I've said this several times, but I want to emphasize this. One of the ways that you know that you've engaged in private prayer is private prayer can be embarrassing. Watch this. Here it is. You and God, all alone, one-on-one. And here's your opportunity to bear your living soul to God. Amen. When you're praying to God in this mode, when you're praying to God in these private moments, if someone could eavesdrop, it would be embarrassing. And here's the reason why. It's because you tell God things that you wouldn't tell anybody else. It's private. It's intimate. It's meaningful. And in a moment, we're going to see it is so rewarding. Spend that time with God. The old church would say this, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your cry. He'll answer by and by. Tell him everything. You can't shock him. You can't surprise him because he knows everything. He just wants you to bring it to the table of private prayer. A private place can be anywhere. Here, it's called a closet. As I said earlier, it could be your office. It could be your bedroom. It could be a farmer's barn. It could be a shade tree in your backyard. It could be an old chair on your back porch. It can be any place. It can be your workshop. It can be any number of places, but have that place where you can get alone with God. Jesus sets an example for us. The Bible says in Luke 22 and 41, and this was prior to the crucifixion, And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. There were times when Jesus separated himself even from his disciples to get alone with his heavenly Father and pray. I hope you see the example there. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 46, after getting them in the boat, emphasizing after getting them in the boat, Jesus did something else. The Bible says, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Jesus got away from his followers and spent time with his heavenly Father. Shutting the door meets a requirement of private prayer. And that means that you are sequestering yourself. You're shutting out disturbances. You're shutting out distractions. You're eliminating any possible detours that could hinder you from having private time with God. Shutting the door in our text says to make sure that you can pray without being heard. You don't need to be heard. God needs to hear you, and he hears from your heart. Private time, as I said, is for private matters. Public time is for public matters. There is a difference between the two. When you're privately with God, when you're spending private time with God, no one can critique your prayers, for no one should. No one can criticize your prayers, for no one can. And no one can copy or should copy your prayers, because it's private. It's between you and God. When you spend this private time with God, he revolutionizes your life. He touches your soul, touches your spirit, and brings about changes in our lives that are not possible apart from private prayer. So learn to steal away for some private time, reclusive time, quality time with God. Contrary to popular belief or ordinarily received opinion, you're not that busy. You're not all you say you are, and your schedule is not that crowded that you don't have time for God. Make time for God, because God will make time for you. God, who is unseen, is met in the secret places of our hearts. God is not interested in show, but he's certainly interested in substance. God is not interested in theatrics and antics, but he is interested in, listen, the deep recesses of our heart. That doesn't remind or inform God about anything, but it does remind us of the need to pray, the need to confess our sins, the need to confess our thoughts, the need to confess our actions, our activities, our motives, on and on and on in private time. Can't you see how this intimate, loving, living, longing relationship with God can grow and strengthen us in believers, as believers? And when we spend this private time with God in prayer, you'll leave refreshed in your spirit. You'll leave with a sense of peace. Why? Because you have given it all to God. Some of us are carrying so much baggage and we don't know how to put it down. Lay it down in prayer. Leave it at the feet of Jesus and watch him work in your life. Spiritual show takes place before people. Spiritual substance takes place in the heart and finds expression in the life that is lived. Be unobserved, that is, learn to get out of sight, out of everyone's sight. Be undisturbed rather, that is, learn to avoid interruptions. It's okay to tell someone, not now, I'm in prayer. It's okay to tell someone, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. I really don't want to be disturbed. It's okay to do that. God delights in that kind of prayer. Allow God the freedom to work in your heart as he so pleases. Remember, reclusiveness is a requirement if we're going to shut the door. Now, secondly, not only is private prayer reclusive, private prayer is reverent. Prayer time is holy ground. Never lose sight of that precious privilege. Fools rush in. Understand who you're talking to. Understand who you're approaching. Understand that you're talking to God Almighty, holy and mighty and awesome. Christ clearly contrasts the person of verse 5 and the person of verse 6. The person of verse 5 wants to be heard. The person of verse 5 wants to be seen. The person of verse 5 wants the applause of people. The person of verse 6 wants to spend quality time with God. The person of verse 6 will grow in their faith. The person of verse 6 wants quality time, alone time with God. Christ severely condemns pretentious behavior as demonstrated in verse 5. You have to be careful in the church. Sometimes you hear someone pray and you say, oh, I wish I could pray like Sister so-and-so. Oh, I wish I could pray like Brother so-and-so. Be careful. That could be the worst prayer you ever prayed. Be careful. Be careful modeling yourself after people. If you want to model yourself after anybody, model yourself after Jesus. Look at the scriptures. See how Jesus prayed. Look at Jesus. Examine his motives. Look at Jesus, how as busy as he was, when you look at the life of Jesus, thousands of people, throngs of people coming after him, wanting any and everything that he could possibly give, and you find Jesus Christ himself stealing away, getting away from the crowd, getting away from the inner circle, getting away from the disciples, getting away from people, getting alone with his heavenly Father. That's our model. Effectual, reverent prayer will always focus on God and never the person who is praying. The wrong which Christ condemns is the motive, namely the desire to be seen and to be heard. Private prayer enables the believers to pour out their hearts to God, your Father who is unseen, your Father who sees in secret, your Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Father whom you've called upon to save you, your Father who promises you that when you do this, he meets you in that secret place, your Father who desires the very best for you, your Father who loves you more than you could ever love yourself, your Father who gave his Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin, your Father who provides for you, your Father who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, your Father that desires that you have the mind of Christ, your Father who forgives every sin, your Father who removes every weight, your Father who leads you to places higher than yourself, your Father who wants the very best for you, your Father who will never leave you nor forsake you, your Father who takes care of you, your Father who provides for you, your Father who strengthens you, your Father who enables you, your Father who gives you ability to do things you never thought possible, your Father who loves you more than you could ever love yourself, your Father who wants to do wonderful, wonderful things in your life. You never realize that in the public place, you realize it in the private place. Private prayer is reverent prayer. To express our true feelings and to listen in the quietness of that moment for God's voice. Some people say, you know, I'd love to hear God. I just don't hear God. Well, maybe you ought to be quiet. That's one way you can hear God. Sometimes private prayer means shutting the door and be quiet. Be still. Listen for the voice of God. We know that God always speaks in all places and all times. But we also know that we don't always listen. Because for many of us, we're too busy for God. Private prayer not only involves praying to God, private prayer also involves listening to God. Reverence for God says, I want to hear what you have to say to me in this moment and in this space and in this time. Jesus, in calling God the Father, describes an intimate relationship that every believer should have with him. The writer of Hebrews 4:16 puts it this way, let us therefore, the believer, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's both reverent and that's also relational. Private prayer is reclusive. Private prayer is reverent. Thirdly, private prayer is regular. Not the one-shot Charlie, not the one time, not the one emergency. Private prayer should be a regular part of the Christian's life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. That means that prayer should always be the order of our day. Luke 18 and 1 concerning the unjust judge. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Jesus says, men ought to always pray and not faint. Prayer is not optional. Prayer should be regular. Notice in verse 6 of the text, Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is an expectation. Prayer should be the spiritual modus operandi of every believer. Not if you pray, but when you pray. I said earlier, many who say they don't have the time, in reality, have not just taken the time. Many pray on the run, have no regular private time with God, and it shows up in their public time. Just as one would not miss an opportunity with a head of state, if a celebrity you hold in high esteem, if there's a famous person you would love to meet, and if that person called and says, I'm going to be on your street knocking on your door at such and such an hour, you'd be there. Don't say you wouldn't, because you would. You'd be there. Whoever that person can be an entertainer, that person can be an actor, a politician, a statesman, a stateswoman, whoever it might be, if you knew they were going to be at your door at such and such a time, you'd make it a point to be there. Well, God does something greater than that. God, our Father, says every time we steal away in regular and secret prayer, he will meet us there. We're talking about God. We're not talking about celebrities. Notoriety. If some person of notoriety should want to make an appointment with you, you'd pencil out things in your schedule to make time. Then how much more should we pencil in time for God? A daily appointment with him who feeds us with the unsearchable riches of Christ. When we learn to pray regularly, we might eventually lead others to pray also. A strong, fervent, vibrant, impactful believer can never be any one of those things without private time in prayer. For private time in prayer is where we get our marching orders. Private time in prayer is where we get our personal rebukes from God. Private time in prayer is where God enters into our secret places and begins to work in areas of our lives that we normally would not invite him in. Private prayer is God in us, not around us, but in us. The person of the Holy Spirit pointing out areas in our lives where God so desperately wants to work in our hearts and to work in our lives. The reason why many of us are not growing in our faith is it could be the absence of alone time with God. And it should be regular. Now, fourthly and finally, private prayer is reclusive. Private prayer should be reverent. Private prayer should be regular. And private prayer is rewarding. Go back to verse 6. The Bible says, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, will reward thee openly. The greatest reward for private praying is this, is your Father sees in secret. He knows. He's there. You're not praying to yourself. You're praying to your Heavenly Father. But you have to know that you know that you know that you have a Heavenly Father to pray to. And you come to him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, whatever you do, never forget this. Jesus says, no man, neuter gender, no man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Father but by the Son. To go to the Father in secret prayer means I have already been to the Son in salvific prayer. In other words, I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to my Heavenly Father who beckons me and who bids me to come regularly and to come freely, that He might reward me as a result of private time spent with Him. You do not need to be seen of men to gain a reward for your praying. Two things can be said about this reward. First, the source of the rewards. The source is thy Father who sees all. And if you are praying properly, God will reward you. You might say, well, how do I know that I'm praying properly? Spend time in God's Word. The Scriptures give us all indications of how to pray. It's okay. It's okay to say to God what He's already said to you. You said, Lord, in your word that your desire is to conform me to the image of Christ. And Lord, I desire that conformity. You said, Lord, that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And in my private time, I lay my sins bare before you. I articulate my personal sins before you right now, desiring forgiveness, knowing that your word says you will forgive me. And evidence of that forgiveness is openly and outwardly it makes manifestations in my life, because I no longer have to shoulder and I no longer have to carry the weight and the guilt and the burden of sin anymore. I left it at the foot of the cross. I left it in the closet. I walked out of that closet strengthened and renewed by the power of God. The reward. God will reward you because He's the source of the reward. Secondly, the sight of the rewards. The Bible says openly. Public vindication comes from all of those who are truly God's people and have it in their heart, and they're real. Perhaps somebody has hurt you. Perhaps somebody has wounded you. Perhaps somebody is riding your back. Perhaps the mention of somebody's name disturbs you. Perhaps you are avoiding people. Perhaps people are getting under your skin. And then you heard a sermon like this, and you went and spent private time before God, and you called on God, and you gave God all there is that you know about that circumstance, and God not only heard you, but He rewarded you. How did He reward you? Because now when you see that person, you got a smile on your face. Now when you're around that person, it doesn't disturb you anymore. Now when that person even says something, it doesn't bother you anymore. Why? Because not only did you pray for yourself in prayer, you prayed for that person. You gave your feelings. You gave your observations. You gave everything that you had about that situation to God in private prayer, who saw secretly, and He rewarded you openly. He gave you peace. He gave you power. He gave you the ability to walk and hold your head up high. Like giving inconspicuously, praying in secret will not hinder the obtaining of your reward. Nobody can stop God when it comes to God giving you what He wants you to have. The sight of the reward might be heaven itself, but then again, that's the greatest publicity of all, isn't it? Can you imagine one day you go to sleep and you wake up in heaven? Lord, have mercy. I don't have time to preach that one. Can you imagine the rewards of God that are waiting for His children? Prayer is not designed to inform God, but to give mankind insight into His circumstance, insight into His burdens, insight into His misery, insight into His blessings, insight into anything that's going on in His life. We need a view from the top. To humble our hearts, to excite our desires, to inflame our faith, to animate our hope, to raise our soul from heaven to earth, to put us in mind that there is a Father. Listen, there is a Father who sees in secret. Sometimes I know we can go through life and it can be so difficult. We can become so downtrodden that we even, listen, convince ourselves that God doesn't care anything about us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. But God equally desires that we get in tune and in step with him. Carve out some space. When you go home, if you don't have that place, identify that spot. You go to work, you don't have that place, identify that place. I've got several spots in my life. I don't know about you. One of mine is when I'm trimming my shrubs. I can be out there just trimming my shrubs, talking to God. If you were to walk up on me, you thought I'd lost my mind. I'm talking to God. I'm in the backyard. I got a fence in the back of my yard. Sometimes I have to clear that brush out. And sometimes when I'm out there clearing that brush out, I'm just talking to God. If you come out there, you'd have thought I'd have lost my mind. I got several spots. I got more than one. See, because I believe in prayer, and sometimes you need more than one spot. It's okay to have several spots. Several places where you can go because the spot that you've identified might be occupied. You got another spot you can go to. If door number one is closed, always have a door number two. Another place where you can go and get alone with God. Private prayer. Put them up there in case you missed them. He's reclusive. Private prayer is rewarding. Private prayer is reverent. Private prayer is regular. When you pray, get by yourself. Shut out everything else. Talk to your Father and watch him come see about you. Father, we thank you today for this.